KR Mobile.
KR, this is KJ4, YQK. How you doing, Tom?
Dave, it's a nice day out. It says it's 59, but of course the cloud cover makes it feel a little rougher. How are you and yours doing?
About 59 degrees out here, too. I guess the cold weather's on the way. I started my generator, getting ready for next month. The next month is snow month.
Where are you from? You talking about Alaska? Better not be here.
I'm just thinking every February, about mid-February, is when we get the ice and snow.
David. I left that with Toto and Dorothy up in Kansas.
Kansas, it looks a little bit like Kansas here. I drive by a cornfield where they already harvest. You see the small, the bottom part of the stalk still left in the field.
Where you be today? Up by your place in Dickensville?
I'm headed over to Marietta, get some cash from the bank to pay my cousin, and I might treat myself to Burger King. Thinking about that now. Eat out at Burger King.
Well, we don't eat at Burger King. Too many boogers, but other than that, Bernice is laughing over here. Oh, she wanted to go down to the daughter's and take her some eggs, and she got something else. I don't know what that is back there. You? Turkey brine, whatever that's for. She had a stroke here a couple of weeks ago, Dave, and lost sight in her right eye, and she's doing fine now, so I'm pretty happy.
Went for a little bit of that. I forget what they call it. She has a fluid on her brain because of a stroke. She lost eyesight. It all came back. We got her brain surgery, and they got a shunt there to keep the fluid off her brain now.
And do some amazing things. We're hoping hers might. She's got some peripheral vision in it. A piece of the carotid artery broke off and hit her eye. But she's in good spirits, and about a 4-inch scar on her neck there. She healing up good, and they did a wonderful job down there at Prism at Greenville. Well, who was it told me the other day? I think it was David, W4DJW. I think he said your wife used to have the same kind of motorcycle as my neighbor just bought. Is that true?
Well, 600.
No, he's got 1,000. I can't imagine in my old age seeing a girl on a Ninja. But I've seen some around here riding the bikes. And we used to have a lady, well, I use that loosely. Her name was KT. That was her biker's name. And she rode a Harley-Davidson Sportster. And Bernice sewed for her leather stuff. And she come by the house one day and she said, "You ever ride one of those, Tom?" And I said, "No, never have." I said, "I always wanted to, but I said, I'm too old now." When that was a long time ago, Dave. And she said, "No, you ain't." And she throwed me the keys. And I said, "Oh, I'm not going to take your bike." And I throwed them back. And she turned around and throwed the keys back to me. She said, "You're going to ride that." So I got to ride that Sportster. It was fun. They're typical Harley. They're noisy, you know, but it was a lot of fun to ride it. It's a nice bike. But not exactly my cup of tea, but right then I took it because I couldn't afford one.
They're pretty nice bikes here. Now, we just do a Jeep now. That's the most dangerous thing I drive now is a Jeep.
Well, I'm parked here at Wade Hampton and Buncombe, you might say, before I cross the intersection. And there's a black one here, and it's a pretty vehicle. It's got a short bed and 4 doors on it. It just says Jeep from Benson on the back. I don't know what model it is, but it's sharp looking.
Pretty inner Jeep you're just driving there. I still have my old black Jeep, the Cherokee. I got the 4-door Jeep, and I have a Grand Cherokee. I think about trading the Grand Cherokee in for the Gladiator now.
I think you're looking for a rougher ride, but you're still young. They look like they'd ride pretty stiff compared to that the car you got. What do you call it? Oh, burn it. I lost my memory there. I was watching the traffic, Dave. That's a fine automobile, the one you first mentioned.
Grand Cherokee. And all the way I get a Gladiator if they came down on prices and all. It went way too much. My Grand Cherokee, it's loaded. It's the Overlander. It's got everything known to mankind in it. And it rides nice air suspension.
Yeah, I think I'd stick with that, but it's all about choices. But I do believe that'd be a rougher riding vehicle overall, but the utilitarian part of it's nice with the bed on it. And that Grand Cherokee, it's pretty. I really like them anymore. Whew. Boy, they need to do some road repair down here on Buncombe Road, I'll tell you.
You hang out the Grand Cherokee, what I'll probably do is beef it up a little bit, you know, like a deflector for the front hood for bugs, put up some that plastic, clear plastic on the side of for rock chips, and put a roof rack on it, use that for towing my camper across country.
Thank you for that.
It tows 6,200 pounds, and it's got the air suspension where I can lift it up 21 inches if I need it.
That is nice. James, how big an engine that got in it?
Wrangler is a 3.6, and the Wrangler can tow 3,500, and the Grand is 6,200.
And how big a trailer you got, Nick?
Drop, that's about 19 feet. You can stand inside of it with a kitchen and a shower. Just big enough for two people. It weighs about 2,400 pounds, 2,500 pounds of water on board.
This is your old TR. Where have you been in it, Dave? Any place in particular?
Mike UK Mobile. I've been at the Pennsylvania, Florida, Walt Disney World, Destin, Navarre Beach, North Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee for camping.
Well, you know, I went up there to visit Darielle one day in my 4G, and he was transmitting up there, and he had a spot there, but it's too commercialized in those kind of places. I like more of the Boondocks place. However, up there at Cherokee, they camp along the river a lot, and they have spots on that. That'd be pretty neat to go up there, and then you could go over to the casino, and a lot of pretty country up there.
Yeah, spots I like going to, the Cherokee up there along that river and creek area. Cherokee Campground is the one I like to go to. It's out from town, far enough out, and it's got good fishing.
Bernice, you can answer that, Bernice. That she said she had, going up. She had lunch. We could eat lunch with her. Yeah, sounds good to me. Go ahead and tell her yes. shoot. We're headed down to Amy's place here. Well, I worked that's beautiful up there along that river. That is quite a stream. It runs right underneath the casino. We go up there about once or twice a year, and the kids are going to take Bernice up there for her birthday. Shelly's flying in from Michigan, and Amy and all of us are going to go up there to celebrate Bernice's birthday here next month.
I'll be back in about 3 minutes. It's KJ4YQK on the side for a second.
KJ4YQK in 0TR. DJC in 4DJC in 0TR.
I double with you, TR there, in 02R. This is KD4SOR. Let me jump in just for a second while he's taking a break there. You were talking about Jeeps. You may or may not remember the old Kaiser 715 5 1/4. Now, that was one tough but oh-so-rough riding pickup truck.
No, this is Tom, and I forget your name, SRR, but I remember your call sign. But I remember Kaisers in the old days. My dad had no international pickup truck. I don't think you could have got any rougher than it. And that damn thing, you needed a football field to turn a circle in it.
And there's a whole club that keeps those internationals going. They had that 345 V8. It went in a lot of school buses. It wasn't particularly powerful. They did have pretty decent torque, but a lot of folks swapped out the motors for, I want to say, 300 straight sixes out of Ford.
Torquey motor, all right. Oh, there goes a plane taking off. Looks like a King Air going out of a GSP down here. What was your name again?
Oh, this is Robert from down in Joanna. The infamous, always entertaining Joanna.
I remember you now. Remember him on the net, Bernice? You usually come in, Robert, right after I do, I think. Or before, and always tell us what you're eating or what you're doing or something. Am I correct?
Informal and laissez-faire. Sometimes just lazy.
I'm a lad. We're from Kansas, and we're a little slow, too. But we're very informal, and I like to be about like Will Rogers. I never met a stranger. And it's nice to talk to you, Robert. We're just passing on GSP International Airport, headed down to the daughters to take her some eggs from our girls and maybe have lunch, by golly, and warm lunch.
You know, I saw a thing the other day where a guy gave his girl, proposed to his, it was, of course, it was a spoof, but he proposed to his girlfriend with a dozen eggs.
And nowadays, Amy sent us a text the other day. It had a picture of a chicken, and it said, "This is how you solve the bird flu," and it had on a mask, like for COVID.
They got this guy. You see the dude that's got the rent-a-chicken? It comes with a little roller house, and you can put three hens in there. And he only wants like $590 to rent his chicken.
Well, yeah, Bernice said something about somebody was renting chickens, didn't you, Bernice?
Yeah.
And wasn't that much, but, well, I'll tell you, we went into Publix to pick up some spicy wings there yesterday or day before, and it was $5.29 a dozen. And they're trying to blame the price on them on the fact that they had several million died from that bird flu. Well, that's true, but it was only 5% of the flock. The problem is printing this money without anything to back it up, Robert, as far as I'm concerned. That's what makes inflation.
Was, and we're really headed for what Germany had after World War One. The French wanted so much in reparations, they said the only way they could pay it was just print a lot of paper. And there were pictures of guys with a wheelbarrow of Dutch marks going to buy a loaf of bread. But if you could find a loaf of bread. See, normally in the regular Depression, we had a lot of supply. I mean, there were a lot of people out of work, but we had an overabundance. So if you had a nickel, you could probably buy a 20-pound sack of flour. But now you've got a shortage and a depression, and that's a hard one to pull out of.
I'll tell you, there were many times back in Kansas where it was payday to payday for years, and Marie should give me a $5 bill and said, "That's what you get for the next 2 weeks." And we made her, you know, get her done. That's all we could do. Well, that's true. And they said, possibly there is going to be a depression. But on a brighter side, we got our own chickens. And, what's the name of the Sussex? The first name on them? Speckled Sussex. We got eight of those, and they've been on strike because they've been molting, and they use the protein in the food to generate feathers rather than eggs. And if those suckers don't start laying pretty quick, though, they've been on strike too long. They're going to go to Glock Heaven. I'm going to get me some more of these black Australops. They're the best laying chicken we've ever had. This is NZRTR.
KD4SR. and Joanna. My brother's got 40 ducks, and they eat a lot of food, and they're quacking all night long. At least 3 to 5 of them in a row. It could be 4 a.m. in the morning. Here they come. Quack, 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 quack. Disappeared in the dark. Well, anyway, they lay their eggs, but they don't lay it in the duck house. They lay it down in the bushes in the woods. They go free range. And, of course, the big dogs go out and go hunting for eggs. And, unfortunately, those eggs have been sitting there in the sun for a little while. So when they come back in, you can just imagine what it's like. So I told my brother, I said, just get me one fresh duck egg. I've never had a duck egg. Have you?
No. I see them on Life Below Zero. They go out and gather up the goose eggs all the time. But I know they do eat them. But, I can imagine there's not much worse smell than rotten egg solution.
Especially when the dog goes to sleep, and, well, you know what happens in the sleep, so they get real comfortable and everything, and then, you know, roll down the window, but I won't go any further on that. No, I told my brother to get me at least one. Somebody told me that they went to a health food joint. Of course, they're going to pay more. You're going to get, you know, oh, it's organic, you know. $4 a duck egg.
That's rules met, that's all I can say. Yeah, I see that. I bought organic bananas. I like them when they're pretty green, and then we watch them and eat them whenever they're about ripe. But I don't like them when they're real ripe. And I did buy a package of them the other day because there wasn't any good ones out there. But that's about the size of me sampling organic that I've ever tried. My nephew up in Boston, he's a medical scientist, and that's all they eat is organic food. I can't imagine what that costs up in Boston.
Yeah, everything in Boston is expensive. And I don't know how he stands it, if he's originally from Kansas or, you know, how you get along with them folks. Because I had a friend of mine who was from Boston who was so glad to get out of Boston because she said, man, that's, you know, you can say what you want about New York. Man, New York is just plain Southern courteous. In Boston, everybody's in a hurry to get nowhere, and you go in the grocery store, and you stop for 10 seconds, and somebody's banging you in the heels with a buggy. I said I'd be in the Boston popo every day if something happened to me like that.
Years ago, and I never experienced that. Of course, I'm pretty friendly, but I had a guy on the radio probably 20, 30 years ago tell me, he says, you know, I was talking to him in the Boston area on sideband, and he said, well, the rule of thumb up here is, Tom, if you got a house with a driveway, it's $1 million house, and if you don't have a driveway, it's $500,000. I don't know why this guy is sitting here in front of me. He got a green light or amber flashing light, but he won't go. Anyways, yeah, it's a little out of my pay grade. I think in reality, this couple that had the house that my nephew bought got divorced, and it was a $4 million house and wasn't finished, and he only had to give $1.9 million for it. A little out of my pay grade there, Robin.
Of course, up there, that might just be a bonus and a half, you know, pay it off, you know. I got a friend of mine that never went to college. In fact, only went 1 month. One semester to Tech, but he learned programming and system analyzing on the job, and he was able to prove who he was and what he was. He got a job in Manhattan working for a law firm, and Scott's a real easygoing guy. He's originally from Columbia, but his people were from upstate New York originally, and anyway, he went up there, and he lived over in Jersey. and drove his old 71 Chevrolet up there. In fact, I think that's still the snow car. Although, you know, this is the first year in about 50 years or so they haven't had any snow in New York City. But anyway, he makes great money up there. And the wife, she teaches over in Jersey, and then she comes and rides the ferry across, or takes the subway. And they go see a matinee show. He's right down there and not far from Broadway, and they'll just go around the corner. And then, but he's put a pile of money up. And anyway, some company wanted to come back to Columbia. And he was real nice. He said, "Well, I'll see, you know." And they gave him his offer. And he said, "I'm not bragging, but that's about half what my last bonus was." So he said, "I kind of got it comfortable up here. I like it. I've learned to get along." And good luck to y'all. He just wouldn't jump on that offer, but he's making enough, and Scott knows how to live cheap, even up there.
Well, my two great nephews are working up there in, I wish this lady would get out of the way, in New York. Now she's going. And they just stop in the middle of the street. That's okay. They're from Florida. And they're working in New York, and I told Mike, get them out of there, but has a degree in biochemistry from KU, a degree in economics, a degree from the University of Sussex in international relations in England, and a master's in business from Northwestern. And just one job he had, and he was the CEO of a drug company for 11 years. So like you say, that's pocket change. But you never know it. He's still a Kansas boy from the farm that went home and helped his grandma bale hay every summer, all summer in the heat. And I love him dearly. We do. He's just a great one. Anyways, Robert, we've arrived here. And if I can get parked in beside this Mustang, my grandson's stud horse, I call it, we're going to go in and have some lunch. But it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you have a good rest of the weekend. And I know Dave was in there, but he got out for a little bit. But I've enjoyed it. Holler anytime. This is N0TR73. Be clear with your final.
N0TR, we do appreciate it as always. Thank you so much. And it's always a good thing to follow you on the check-ins at night. Of course, I always pause for dramatic effect to be when they do get the second call. That's the ham in me, the other ham, as in stage ham. Well, anyway, you got a successful family, and that is just wonderful to hear. Well, didn't mean to just usurp the conversation between you and, I believe it was Doug you said, but y'all go ahead and say a chat. I always interrupt, and then I don't know when to shut up. So I'll let you go. This is KD4SRR, Robert, Dad, and Joanna, a.k.a. the Wild Kingdom. I'll be clear.
KD4SRR, N0TR73, Robert, enjoyed it, and KG4YQK. I got to get out, Dave, if you're still there, 73, and catch you down the line. This is N0TR, clear.
I was actually calling for you, Tom. I was going to ask about how your better half was doing.
I'm sorry, Wyatt. I got tongue-tied there. I was trying to remember Dave's call, too, and Robert's. Thank you for asking, Wyatt. I'm just sitting here, and Bernice is going on in. She's doing great. The incision's healing up in her neck nicely. Things are just working out. She still lost vision in that right eye, and but she does have some peripheral vision in it, Wyatt. And we got to go for a post-op doctor's appointment to our own personal physician. And then March 16th, they're going to we'll go down to Clemson, and they'll reevaluate it there. So, we're hoping some of it will come back, because they didn't give us any hope when we went there the first time, Wyatt. Over.
For me to quit looking at you, and, you know, there's at least a chance it'll come back. Well, you have a good day, and we'll catch you later, Tom. Catch you for CTD, and I'll be monitoring for a few minutes.
I'll tell you like I do ND7J. That's one. You don't get three, Wyatt. But I can't argue that one. Talk to you later, KJ4CTD, in 02R73.
Hi, KJ4, YQK.
Bye-bye, Dave. Nice talking to you, in 02R clip.
Gerson? Yesterday was fun. My sugars dropped below 50, and I was about 3 o'clock. After that, it was just a waste of a day.
Yeah, I got locked down. I ran another antenna, set up another antenna for 10 meters, made a contact on 10 meters earlier, and a digital mode up there. First digital mode on 10 meters, too, in a long, long time.
Somebody got her Christmas, birthday, New Year's present. Maybe some other kind of present yesterday. Got me a dinosaur-powered stove.
Good, and I did remove another trailer full of junk this weekend. So the property is almost there. It's pretty bare now.
Good. I didn't actually think you had anything else left over there.
Pieces and stuff like that, like the tires and stuff, and I still have a bunch of stuff that I gotta... That's under the dirt and leaves and stuff I got to pick up, and that's going to take forever and ever. You know, you think you got it cleaned up, brand new truck, but then another piece comes up to the top.
Hey, just think about it. You know, when you finally do light the big one, go to the radio in the sky, the next person won't have to deal with all that crap.
And the next step is the big antenna and a high reach to put up the beam on the telephone pole. And I got a trench, found a trench in for the rotator control cables and the RF cables.
I'm going to drop some PVC in the ground to do that.
Put the PVC in the ground for it so I can run back and forth with the cable.
Hey, don't forget to put a spare pool cable on there. I always tend to forget that, and it's highly irritating.
This Thursday, so we'll have fiber capability. We're really hooking up. All right, I'm going to say 63. He said, just pulled in the driveway. Stuart's staring at me. He wants me to come in. I'll say 63. KJ4, like you can't be clear.
All right, we'll catch you later, David. KJ4, CTD mobile for about another 5 minutes.
For what?
Call sign one more time.
Hey, F-R-Y.
My name is Wyatt. How are you?
How are you doing today?
Much better than yesterday.
Your call sign and name again. I want to write that down.
Okay, it is Kilo Juliet 4 Charlie Tango Delta, and my name is Wyatt.
Last one, I got KJ4C. KJ4CTD.
You're a Kilo Juliet. No, Kilo Golf. Is that what you were?
So Quebec 4 Foxtrot Romeo Yankee.
Way down to the Qs. You must be a new ham.
My license last week.
And don't forget to check in at the net. 9 p.m. nightly.
Started listening to it even before I got my ham license.
I've been really slacking just because the only 2-meter rig I got right now is it's in the truck, and I haven't been mobile at 9 o'clock at night. One of these days I'll fix that and get the rig in the house going again.
The Winterfest or Winterfield Day yesterday, and I was having problems with my radio in my truck, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. So they tested the antenna. The antenna had a very high SWR.
That's always a bad sign.
Well, I've ordered another antenna, and they're supposed to be here this week, so hopefully that's going to help the situation.
I meant to go to Winterfield Day. I'm going to try and see if I can still sneak in the last, 15 minutes here, but maybe I'll end up having to pack up stuff. Go ahead.
Just finished putting the rest of the stuff away. Everything's out.
Are you all over at Johnny's?
Are. Most of us are leaving now. We just got done putting everything in the building.
Oh, well, I see the trailer leaving now. Oh, well, I tried. Make myself non-useful. KJ4, sit in and I'll be clear.
And I'm gonna get off here and go in here and get a little rest. This is KQ4FRY. TD, you have a good day. FRY, standing by.
For DJW Mobile.
So, how's field day going?
We're all packed up and all packed away and headed home.
So, starts, I guess it's time for everyone to compare logbooks and see who did what.
We're doing that. If you were keeping track of that, we weren't keeping track. We were just having a good time. Out in the woods and setting up and communicating and tearing down.
The point is to have fun. So, no logbooks then, huh?
Kept track of it, other than, you know, maybe the longest station or farthest station or something like that. We had some good antennas way up in the sky, like 60 to 80 feet up in the sky.
Go up there, go climb atop a tree.
The big stick, the thing that tree pillars use to throw waxed rope up in a tree and then pull a bigger rope with it.
I sort of know what you mean, yeah. I've also seen the thing that looks like a slingshot or a little catapult or something for, you know, a line thrower, a slingshot thing.
It's a slingshot with 1-inch rubber bands. it will launch a hacky sack full of lead, you know, 10 ounces of lead in a hacky sack. It'll toss it over an 80-foot tree with a wax rope following behind it.
Well, let's see, I'm trying to think of the shotgun with blank shells with some kind of little hook at the end of it. Nah, you don't want to fire off guns up there.
Yeah, explosives. It's just rubber bands you pull back on a 6-foot slingshot. Think about a slingshot that's 6 feet long. And you pull rubber bands back from about a foot and a half length to about 5 feet in length. And when you let go of them, that hacky sack pulls that string up 80 feet.
Yeah, now I think I have seen that. I also think I've seen something that almost looks like a crossbow. That would probably also work.
Like that, the speed that you, the acceleration has to be gradual, or the arrow just takes off and the line is just sitting where it was before the arrow left. The line doesn't budge, the arrow just is gone, and you'll never see the arrow again.
You push it up, you can't plan on strong enough to keep it together.
Hold with you, go again.
You can't tie a knot on the arrow strong enough to keep it together. Too much acceleration, no matter how tight you tie the knot, it comes apart, is what you're saying.
That fishing line that I was using, I think, was 30-pound or 50-pound test line, and it just snapped it in two like it was sewing thread.
Well, I guess you're saying not the crossbow, the thing you described, the big slingshot.
That wax rope, and you're not going to break that. You can hang off of a house with that wax rope. It's not going to break. So that one uses wax rope, but when I used the bow and arrow, I used a bow and arrow and something else that shot it out really fast when I was experimenting with what was the best. And the bow and arrow left the scene, and the rope was just like still sitting there looking around. Like, did somebody say go? They just parted ways immediately as soon as you fired it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, that you can't tie a knot that's not going to come out under that kind of acceleration, is what you're saying.
Well, the knot was still there, but it was, you know, on the arrow, it was still there, but the rope couldn't. couldn't accelerate that fast, the fishing line. Now, you might have got like a 120-pound steel leader and then tied like 80-pound test line to the 120-pound steel leader. That might have worked, but I did. I abandoned that before I got to that point.
Not the knot. The problem is the rope. The rope breaks under the acceleration. Unless, as you said, that you had that little piece of steel wire or something else, plastic wire as a leader, then it would work.
The one that I had, it was on a big, it wasn't an open face fishing reel. It was a fishing reel, but the reason that it couldn't keep up is because it had to unwind off of that spool, and the friction from having to unwind off of this put enough drag on the arrow, and the arrow had enough acceleration that the drag versus acceleration made the line break in two.
We're back to the blank shotgun shell firing some sort of... Now, that's probably also too much acceleration.
I think the other way of doing it is using air, compressed air. And Chad has one of those, KO4NUE, that'll send a slug through a garage door with no problem. So it'll go a lot further than my rubber band solution. But if you're not careful, I mean, he doesn't use wax rope, he just used parachute cord. It's strong enough to carry parachute cord up that high. My rubber bands couldn't drag parachute cord through the air that far because it's got too much air resistance. So there's been a lot of experimenting with different solutions. I think pneumatic and big shot. Big shot's what tree fellers use. There's guys that cut down trees and they want to put a rope up high in the tree, but they use big shots. But that's the 6 foot slingshot method.
Good. You see, I'm learning a lot. Because the next time I'm in the position of having to put an antenna up a tree, I'll try to remember that.
Bill, you could just give us a call. We'll come down there and do it for you.
Two utility, well, I still have, obviously. I have two utility poles, I'd say a bit over 100 feet apart, maybe 25 to 30 feet high. And what I had done is I basically a thin piece of wood, got it as far up the one pole as I could, and then took the other pole, walked it around the house, somehow got it nailed to the second utility pole, because the house is in between, because the house is kind of in the way, but I was able to walk around with the other thin little pole, like a 2x2 or 1x1 little stick, and managed to nail that to the other utility pole. But yeah, that came down a long time ago.
Getting it over the top of a utility pole might be kind of difficult, unless like it's got like a T bar up there or something to hold it so you could pull it down and attach it at the bottom on the other side. Is it like a telephone pole with a T bar at the top, or is it just a pole with nothing on the end of it?
No, I wasn't so much saying get it to the top is put the antenna on top of a really, really thin piece of wood, you know, hold it vertically, and then somehow nail it to the utility pole. So I guess it's not actually on the utility pole. It's at the top of some thin piece of wood. And you just, you know, hold it straight up for as long as you can and nail it to the utility pole, and then do the same thing on the other side. Which means you gotta, walk this thing to the other side of the yard, you know, walk it around the house. It did actually work once, but, you know, that wire long since came down.
It had somebody that had those tree spikes that could just walk up that telephone pole with a belt and put you a pulley up there on the very top of it, run your rope through that pulley, you'd have it knocked.
Contact whoever vandalized my property in Clinton and basically took all the copper, including the copper that was running to the utility pole. I actually see there's little bits of wood nailed up the pole. Basically, they made a ladder to go up. So you got to hand it to vandals and thieves and scrappers.
They're real inventive. Too bad they didn't get electrocuted. But, yeah, the wire from the utility pole to the, you know, the smaller pole, even that's gone. So whoever took that piece of wire had some real creative way to do it. They actually made a little ladder going up the pole. There's little cross bits of wood. I don't know why somebody would risk killing themselves for, you know, a couple of pounds of copper. It's too bad they didn't.
That sounds like somebody that probably wasn't thinking clearly. Yeah, that's what it takes somebody to steal stuff like that. Anyway, I'm about home. I got to get out and vacuum out my car. Kind of after being in and out muddy all day multiple times, it needs a good vacuuming. But anyway, good talking to you, Glenn. Stay dry. Let us know if you want us to come down there and help you put up an antenna. W4DJW.
WKD2BNG. All right, 73s. I'll talk to you later. Maybe I'll check into the net later. Okay, it's still early in the day. I got things to do. Anyway, 73s. Have a good one.
Go mobile.
KO4LAO, KD2BNG.
KO4LAO, did you guys sleep well last night?
I did. I wasn't doing the field day. It was pretty much everyone else.
Yeah, well, this morning, I'm out here with the Greer guys. We did the field day out here with NY4G.
Several field days going on.
And, with the Greer Club, and I know I don't know how it went there for Brars. I think you were out there, weren't you?
I don't do field days, especially out in the field. Especially since it's kind of too cold for me to be out there. You know, last field day I think was in the basement of a fire station or the emergency operations center. Or, like, somewhere in eastern Nassau County.
Well, since I did that, too, and it was a little chilly last night, but we made it through.
I'm a happy camper. I'm not sure where that expression came from. I think the happiest camper is the guy who's leaving the campsite. Yeah, all right, we're out of here now. No more sleeping on the ground. You know, back to my, refrigerated whatever... my hotel room and what my soft bed.
Right now is I'm
hike. I'll go out for like a half day hike out in the woods if I can still do that. I probably still can, but I don't know that I'm the pitching a tent or building a shelter and camping type. You know, being out there for days at a time. Now, not that that's not a bad skill to learn, because you might unintentionally find yourself out there and have to last more than a few days.
But when you do that, it reminds you of all those things and all those conveniences you have at home, because you forget to bring stuff with you.
No motor car, not a single luxury.
And it was, didn't care how many pairs of socks I put on last night, it wasn't warm enough.
The survival shows on, what's that one, Dual Survival, those two guys, one's a naturalist, the other's an ex-army guy, and they find themselves all over the world, various terrain. Okay, if you dropped out in the middle of the desert, you know, here's how to look for water, you know, that sort of thing. If you're in the jungle, you got kind of another set of problems. I guess the two main problems are build a fire and find water. Probably you need one for the other, because you don't want to drink the water unless you boil it out.
Any time, water is the issue. So, you know, that over food for sure.
And so how to catch food, how to catch a snare for a little hapless rabbit or something that wanders by, or a squirrel or something. They even showed you how to cook a squirrel, which I don't imagine is more than a snack, but, you know, how to build shelters, that sort of thing.
Well, listen, I'm going to get off here and say 73 to you, but thanks for shouting out, and I'll talk to you a little bit later. KO4, or tell me your call again.
BNG, Kilo Delta 2, Bravo November Golf.
NG, KO4, LAO, I'll be clear on your final.
BNG, okay, yeah, go home, warm up, stay dry. You know, start thinking about things like nice to have electricity and heat.
I thought about that last night, so thanks very much. KO4, LAO, take care.